What else is someone else that remembers something, if you were here? They will change. By the way, is that 100%? No. Are we to do it 100% of the time? We're to be Christ-like 100% of the time, even if they don't see him yet. Right? It's not an option. It's not an option. One more. You have to talk loud. Or say it again. Think of others. Yeah. Yeah. And I told you about the different personality types. Lions don't normally think about other people naturally. In my flesh, I am not designed to serve others. I'm desired to conquer, to overcome obstacles, to persevere. It's only by God's grace and his mercy that we can have that patience that we need. That considering others more high than ourselves. I'm going to just jump back just to show. This is our verse for those who just got here for this time. That all relationships we have are for Christ. They're not just relationships. Even the people that we don't have relationships with, even those are meant to be for Christ. And so I have to consider the people that I don't know, as well as the people that I do know. How do I put my wife's needs before my own? I don't have any. That is not in my flesh. Not in my flesh. It's by God's grace and God's help that I can do any of that. Any of that. But for your young people, who, how many of you are friends with somebody else? If you have a friend here with somebody else, raise your hand. Anybody? Matter of fact, not just young people. If you have a friend here that is, you have a friend other than your wife or your sibling or your husband, raise your hand. Okay? So, the first time I spoke on this at the, I speak about every other month at our own assembly, our own church, every 2 to 3 months. And I spoke at it at our own church. And I was getting ready to speak on this topic there, and you know what? I said, Lord, help me to meet somebody I don't know. There was one young lady, she's 21 years old. She had been going to our chapel for 5 years, and I didn't even remember her name. Let alone I didn't know anything about her. Nothing. Nothing. And I found out that she never had an interest to talk to me either. And when we got done, boy, I look forward to seeing her every time I'm there visiting again. Why? She's an introvert. All the way over here. I'm an extrovert. All the way over here. When she sees loud, noisy people, she runs away. When I see quiet people, I think they're snobs and they don't want to talk to me. So why bother? Anybody can relate to either end of that spectrum? You're either one or the other. People like me annoy you because I'm too loud. Yeah? Look at, she's shaking her head. Yeah, I was talking to her at supper time. Yeah. But you know what I found out? I'll never learn anybody's name if I don't try to. And then I talked to a lady that was at our, she had only been there for about 3 months. Going through a divorce, struggling to make ends meet, and didn't have any feeling of people that cared for her. And by the time we were done talking for 15 minutes, she cried and just said, thank you so much. You encouraged me. Only because I made a decision that I wasn't going to talk to my friends after the first meeting. I was going to talk to somebody I don't normally talk to. I don't normally talk to. And that's hard for me. So if you're here, relationships with Christ, the world sees Christians, lots of work we can do. Serving people more than ourselves and outside of ourselves. Responding to people with God's love and not our own strength. Caring more about others. Caring about yourself. more than others is a real detriment, right? We just need to keep working on that. General William Booth always was talking about others. So now we're on allowing impulsive emotions to speak for you. When I grew up, I grew up German, went to a French, predominantly French-speaking group, found out that there were French-speaking churches or assemblies, there were Egyptian, there were Arabic, there were German, there were all different types of assemblies that had different backgrounds. And you know what I found out in the early years? Everybody stereotyped everybody based on their nationality. And when I come into Canada, does that happen here too? That happens sometimes? Do you guys stereotype Americans? Yeah. You married one. Yeah. Do you think Americans stereotype Canadians? Yeah. Yeah, they think they're upper class, right? Because they're above them, right? And there's all kinds of jokes about it. My wife is Polish. All kinds of jokes. German, stubborn, pig-headed, right? And so what do with people? We right away put them in a category and leave them there. So God's word says what about our impulsive emotions? Especially when we think this through a lens of when you preconceive what you think people are like. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How easy this would be to turn it into a marriage conference. How easy this would be to turn into brother and sisters or brothers and brother relationships. You're his older brother, right? You guys like go together, same family, right? How easy I could talk to you guys a long time about this verse, right? This is all about brothers getting along, isn't it? This is all about marriages getting along, isn't it? This is all about the workplace getting along, isn't it? This is all about the church getting along, isn't it? This is all about the community that you live in, isn't it? But until we realize that my anger does what? Does not produce God's righteousness. Do I realize that my anger, it even says be angry and sin not in another passage. Be angry and sin not. That my anger is for what purpose? For my anger, it's my purpose is because I don't like what you did. My anger in my own righteousness is because you didn't do what I asked. My anger is because you knew I wouldn't like it that way, but you did it anyways. And I'm not even talking about sin as far as stealing, lying, cheating, you know, relationships outside of marriage, whatever. I'm not talking about all those. I'm just talking about my wife used a credit card the other day. You know I don't like using a credit card. You know I only want to use cash. And that's not one for us, so I can pick it. But it might be one for you. But if it is, deal with it. It's not me, because I don't know anybody. I'm trying to pick ones that are, you know, could be there. It could be something like in a brother's, like, you used one of my toys without asking. You used my Nerf gun. You used my Legos. You listened to my device. Is there a sin in that? But we get angry over little things. And I'm convinced we do not see the need for protecting the righteousness of God. Therefore, when we get bigger and bigger, we do not hold our thoughts captive, and we let our flesh take control. We let our flesh take control. I want you to know, if anybody's ever done much speaking, especially if you're doing exhortation, where you're talking about God's word and bringing truth that people already know, how many times, if you're going to speak on these type of topics, do you think the Lord attacked me all the way here today? how hard it was like to listen to my wife and my son and try to respond with the righteousness of God. So hard. These are the realities of life. And again, I want to go over that, why these things are so important, is because this is how we're going to show Christ to each other. How much we love to be in settings of peace. When I work with the Muslims in the Dells, and we 1 year it seems to be Muslims, not this past summer, but so 3 summers ago, it was Muslims from Turkey. A lot of kids from Turkey were there that were at the meetings. And then 2 years ago, it was kids from China. And so working with all those kids and working through creation and realizing that, you know what, that everyone, every culture has their differences, right? And every culture has their needs. But working in particular with the Muslims, I found that they are looking for people of peace. Of peace. So when the uprising was happening in Turkey, and President Erdogan was there, and all that stuff was happening, these Turks, after meeting and spending time with them for a whole day one day, that when that happened, 2 weeks after I met them, they called me and said, "Can you come talk to us? Because you are a teacher of peace. And we want what you want. We want to hear how to have peace through these terrible times." Through these terrible times. We had a couple big churches that were going through almost splits over, should a woman lead worship or not? It was one place. And then the other one, should we have a woman be a pastor in their church? And they called me up. "Can you come teach our staff at one church? And can you come teach our elders at another church to deal with this question?" And I'm thinking, like, all I've done is set myself in the middle of a major uprising. And whichever side I side with is not going to be good for me or the camp. Because I'm going to pick a side if I do, and the other side is not going to like me. So how do I do this? First, to listen carefully. To listen to both sides carefully. Did I want to speak? Not at all, if I could help it. Literally, how to go in and resolve conflict and win both sides over. So I said, okay, let's listen to this side. Now let's listen to this side. Is there anything else that you can listen, that you can add to help this side understand what you're doing? Is there anything else you can add to this side? And then they want you to tell your opinion. I said, who am I to give opinion to this church of many great men and women of God who desire to see the righteousness of God glorified in this church? Who am I? The only thing I would add is maybe there's 2 more verses I might add. And then I'll leave it with you to pray about it. Both times they made the exact same decision I would have done. That doesn't make me right or them right. I would say that it's because of my Bible teaching that they agreed with me. No. That they actually came together and left in unity. Both churches made substantial growth at a point that they were heading for demise and destruction. It is not me that needs to win. It is God's righteousness that needs to win. What happens to that in a marriage? What happens to that in a church? What happens to that with unbelievers? 7 of those kids from Turkey are the first kids to tell me happy birthday on January 7th. January 7th, you can come celebrate if you want over to our homes. I'm normally not homes. But they tell me happy birthday. And what do they say? Happy birthday to the man of peace. 3 of the kids want to move to Chicago or Minneapolis because they can't find this peace that I talked to them about in Turkey. They can't find this peace in Turkey. Those three have made decisions to follow Christ, but cannot write Jesus Christ in their texts or emails in case it's taken up. To be a man of peace is what? It's not just to those. Know this, my beloved brother, let everyone be quick to speak, slow to anger, and we're reading the same verse again. Because how often can a mismanaged emotion ruin a conversation, ruin a relationship quickly? It's a battle between the impulses of my old nature versus the discipline of my new nature. The discipline of holding every thought captive. What does that mean? What it meant to me when I first became a new Christian was hold every thought captive until you get to lunch and you can talk about those people at lunchtime. You're smiling. You did. You grew up in one of those families. Or you know somebody that happened, right? Sorry. It didn't happen to you. Where we grew up and we tolerated the brothers and sisters. Where we tolerated the people who'd led this thing and didn't do it the way they did it. We tolerated the person who picked two songs that had nothing to do with the theme that morning. We tolerated those people that aren't our friends, that sit in a different row, that don't do their hair like we do. But then we go talk about them after. That's not the righteousness of God. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. How important are healthy relationships? How important are healthy relationships? I mentioned in the first group that my mom's dying right now, or in the hospital for the last 3.5 weeks. Not doing well. My sister and my mom planned her funeral 2 weeks ago. She was doing so bad. And my mom's only request is, I don't want the kids to fight. Why would a mom say that? Because she knows that us as brothers and sisters are prone to fight over certain issues. We're prone to fight. So the best thing that I can do, because all my family aren't Christ-centered, the best thing that I can do is to say, whatever you guys want to do is fine. Let me know how I can help. Let me know how I can help. And by God's grace, my mom asked me to do the only really part that I want to do. She told me again today, Dennis, will you please pick some good passages from Scripture to read at my funeral? If there's any part that I want in my mom's passing in this journey is to share Christ at her funeral. If there's money, I don't really deserve any. I live 500 miles away from my mom. My brothers and sisters who cared for her and whatever, they by far should receive all of that. If there's any toys or trinkets that my mom would want to pass on, maybe one of those to me for my children to see something passed on from my grandpa, that would be great. Whether it's a little toy tractor from my grandpa, from my dad, to my children would be awesome. But anything else, her TVs, her cars, her furniture, her house, her money, I don't really need. So now there's 1/6 left vying for any of her belongings. Any of her belongings. I've seen the breakage of families at times of sickness and death in families, destroying families. Do you allow impulsive emotions to speak for you? And this can be, again, in our marriages. This could be in when somebody does something mean to us. Who was the guy that betrayed Jesus? His name was what? Judas. What's interesting about Judas? He betrayed Jesus. Before he betrayed Jesus, he was one of Jesus' disciples, followers. Could I even use the word friend? It really takes a friend to really hurt somebody bad. If one of the Pharisees or Sadducees had said something to Jesus or did that to Jesus, would have that surprised anyone? Would have that hurt very much? No. Have you, any of you, read the book The Peace Child before? The Peace Child is about a missionary who talks about this these two tribes that were warring with each other. And the ultimate way that the one tribe tried to get at the other tribe was to steal their son. To steal their son. And do what? Make him their own or kill him. Make him their own or kill him. But they could never get close enough to steal that child until they became friends with him. They considered Judas the star of the story of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus, Judas. Judas. And I say that because there's no Christian that I know of that would ever think such a thing. But I want to challenge us. I'm challenging my own heart as I'm working on this. I want to challenge us that maybe in your relationship with your brother, you've not seen that taking care of him is so important to show him the true working of Jesus Christ in your life. And it also can be a younger brother to the older brother, a sister to a brother, to a husband, to a wife. How important it is that we do not get hot-tempered and angry and devious, even in little things. Hearing only what you want to hear. Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. Man, Dennis, are you wearing this verse out? Slow to anger, for the anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. How about when we just hear when we're in a discussion of what we want to hear? Why would we do that? We would do that because of two reasons right off the bat. One is we only are selective hearing because we already think we know what the other person's going to say. And so we don't even listen to them anyways. Because then if we already know what they're going to say, even if they say something to start off with, we don't really think that that's what they really believe. And we already have that made up in our minds. And it's an incredible damage to a relationship. We want to confirm the information that we already have made up in our minds, and we want to ignore anything that person might be sincere in their care for you and I. We don't even care. We hear what we want to hear rather than what even it might be being said. How many times do you hear someone say, or have I said, or maybe you've said, that I'm sorry for doing that? But that three-letter word that negates every I'm sorry there is. I'm sorry, but you made me do it. I'm sorry, but even the devil made me do it. I'm sorry, But you didn't do what you were supposed to. I'm sorry. Right? There's no sincerity in the apology because I'm really not listening to what you're saying. And then the other part that I think can happen out of this is how many maybe have led music or Wana or Sunday school teacher, maybe even the person that you, maybe you're speaking on a Sunday morning. Some of you might remember Ben Glardon. And Ben Glardon was a guy from the Corona Assembly, and he was my spiritual grandfather. And if you could make it through the Ben Glardon speaking school, you could go anywhere. Because Ben would be so, so wonderful, loved me so much, that if I was speaking on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, he so cared about what I was saying that right in the middle of me speaking, he would say, get up and just say, Dennis, you don't know what you're talking about. Just sit down for a little bit and think about those thoughts. That was a kind day. On his on his more abrupt days, he would say, Dennis, that's wrong. Don't teach on that again like that. But I want you guys to know that I became a very, very much better Bible teacher because Ben loved me. He just had a whole different way of telling me than what I was used to. I think he was French, wasn't he? He talked like a German any day. Right? But he loved me that much. But he would talk to me and he would make sure that I was going to speak and handle the righteousness of God right. Right? But the problem with that is, would I rather have that? I'd rather have that any day than the person, than me having the attitude of, this is my job, leave me alone. The song leader who says, this is my job, don't tell me how to do it. Don't tell me how to do it. Somebody who's an Awana teacher and you have some outline curriculum. You can't tell me what to do. When you're an engineer and you think that nobody can tell you what to do. I never did a job. Fred Van Wert taught me. He said, those guys who are making the machines that you're designing are smarter than you probably most days of the week. So you know what I learned from that? When I'm designing a machine, I'd go take it out to the guys who are going to build it and say, what do you think? Can we build it like this? And they would typically say, well, that looks pretty good. Maybe you should change that and that because it'll be easier to build. We could save time if we do it this way. What do you think my relationship with those guys did when I started thinking that instead of, I'm the engineer, you're the guy who's building it, don't tell me what to do? We need changes. Hearing what you want to hear and having the pride to think that you don't have to listen to someone else is a downfall to producing the righteousness of God. Assuming that you understand and failing to really listen. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. If one gives an answer before he hears, okay, and the word hear goes further than that. It's more to the word understands. Oh, I heard my mom tell me to quit chewing gum. I heard my mom to come tell me do dishes. I heard my mom tell me go to bed. You guys ever have moms like that? You guys have moms like that in the back row? Yeah. Can you hear it? But do you listen to it? Most of the time, right? You guys are probably real good in the back row most of the time. How about occasional? Once a year? Right? We can hear it, but that's not the implication of this verse. The understanding of this is before he hears, before I get fully understand what they're saying. Fully understand. So what do? We jump to conclusions. We come into the point that we think we understand and we don't even have a clue. There's something more complex than that. How about there's more to the story? Can I ask for you young people, maybe if you're between 12 and 17, 12 and 18? Do you think parents might do that to you guys sometimes when you're trying to tell your story? That maybe they jump to conclusions? Yeah. How about old people like me? Would we jump to conclusions? Trying to hear what your needs are? What do you think, Titus? Yeah. Because I want you to know that I'm not a perfect dad yet, right? I have a perfect dad in heaven, but I'm not one yet. The word here means to listen and learn. Listen and learn. We have a couple that comes from Milwaukee. He's a leading psychologist and Christian counselor in Milwaukee area. His son's life was transformed at Living Waters, and so he likes to give 2 weekends a year to our camp. So he comes and does these communication trainings for marriages for free. He does them all over Milwaukee, and he only charges $3,000 to $4,000 for the one-day seminar. So typically he comes, he does the whole weekend, and then he leaves enough money for 5 families to come to the counts, to the training for the weekend for free. Because he so much feels the need to help people to communicate. And he's so thankful that his son, who hears a man who teaches marriages how to communicate, his son learned how to communicate with his dad because of 2 weeks at Living Waters. He said, the very things I teach I couldn't even do with my own son. Because he said, my son not only listens to me now, my son wants to understand, why, Dad, do you want me to do that? Why, Dad, do you want me to do that? I even think this boy talked to Brian. You remember the Hildebrands talking to you? Yeah, that's the boy. He's now going to school for petroleum engineer. And that's pretty cool to his mom and dad. Do you know what he's doing while he's going to school for petroleum engineering? He's leading 3 Bible studies a week for other guys who aren't believers in 2 of them, and 1 of them's for believers. Because he's felt that teaching people and listening to people is more important than becoming the smartest guy he's ever met. Because he's a pretty smart guy. All of that's good. Here's the problem. If one gives an answer before he hears, it's to his folly and shame. You know what that means? This is even with people we don't like. Matter of fact, this is most of the people we don't like. And this is our problem. If you don't like somebody, now start listening to people like that. Now start listening, hearing them. Why are you thinking that? Help me to understand. Saying that to my friend is one thing. Saying it to somebody I disagree with is another thing. Saying it to somebody I don't like is really where we need God. It's for me to do it to my wife when she burnt my supper that I was waiting for all day. I don't like my wife for that few moments. Or worse, she didn't make me supper at all because she was helping the neighbor who I don't like. That is like the bottom of the barrel. There's a couple of guys that are relating to this a little bit. It's the people we don't want to listen to, the people we don't like, that we need to apply this verse and to many of these verses. Why? Because it's for the righteousness, God's righteousness, that we need to do that. Rushing a conversation that needs more time. You know what my favorite thing to do with this one is? Let's do 6. Let's just rush through it, right? The very thing you want to rush on, right? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such a harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. You cannot have harmony without humility. You cannot have harmony without humility. Effective communication is typically not an event that I need to do one time, but it's a process that I learn from and that the other people learn from in that relationship. It is such a challenge for me to spend time to let someone else talk, to listen to them, to understand their needs. I told you about the boy that, he's a young man, going through separation. And to listen to him, and to listen to her, it's just really, really hard. Because I think both are problems. You're selfish, get over it and get along. Right? They're not two people that I know very well. It takes time to interact with them, to hear them, to understand their feelings, and to sometimes help them to understand their feelings. You remember that verse in Psalms 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Be still and know that I'm God. You ever understand why we don't have a good relationship with God sometimes? Because we're not willing to take time to not just read His Word and get the devotion of the day done, but to contemplate His Word, to meditate on His Word, to apply His Word to my life, to really ask the Lord to help implement that into my life. That's a lot tougher, isn't it? A lot tougher. Rushing the conversation, may the God of endurance, what is that telling you? I'm probably not going to be able to do that on my own flesh, my own strength, and even my own desire. So then sometimes we have problems in our relationships because we have a fear of conflict, of avoiding difficult conversations. Those difficult conversations can be reminded that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. People that get married that think that this marriage is going to be all wonderful and bliss are blind as can be. We first need to understand, and I actually think when Sam and Bill Weir were doing our first married couples that we ever went to, they were teaching at Guelph Bible Conference grounds. You know what our chapel did? They thought that we were having such a horrible marriage, they paid to send us to Guelph to go to a marriage weekend. And I'm telling you, Mary Ann, she needed that conference so bad. So bad. 2 years ago, somebody thought that Mary Ann needed so much help. She said, I told them we were going to go to a marriage weekend. And they said, "Man, Dennis, your marriage needs a whole week to work on." I said, "Oh, I didn't think Mary Ann's that bad." Yeah. And they sent us to a whole week to a marriage conference. But we went there and we found out that there was this list of 25 things that couples need to work on. Mary Ann only needed to work on like 8. I only needed to work on like 24 out of 25. But that's where we learned. You know what one of the sessions was on? How to fight fair. We learned how to set rules in our arguments. That was 84, that was in 85. 1985 that, was it 85? Wow, that's a long time ago. But I still remember it. But we decided that the two of us, neither one of us, no matter if we fought, if we got in a fight or an argument, okay, that we decided that we knew the limits were, we would never leave the room angry. and that we would never leave, go to bed mad at each other. Do you know what that meant? That meant fighting for a long time sometimes. You know what else that meant? Staying up late. You know what else that meant? That as long as she didn't leave the room and I didn't leave the room, we knew there was always hope for our marriage. We would never leave the house. We would never drive away. We knew those were the rules because we loved each other. So in that marriage, by the way, one night, I woke up in the night and my blankets were off me. And I pulled my covers back on and went back to sleep. A little bit later, my covers are off me again. I roll back over. Pull my covers back on. Go back to sleep. Third time, my covers are off me. I said, honey, what is wrong? Are you mad at me or something? I'm mad at you. And she never told me. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't remember that. Sure was nothing. Aren't you? I bet you other wives are jealous that you don't have a perfect husband like Marianne does. Right? Marianne's even laughing. No, I only have one husband. But it's an amazing thing, right? That we can realize that conflict is needed in all of our relationships. Conflict is needed to actually grow us closer to Christ. Learning how to do it respectfully and loving is important. I love this iron sharpens iron one because when I was an engineer, I went to some metallurgy class things, and I learned how they make a Japanese sword. Won't go into the whole process other than that to say that the final edge on the swords, they would not use a grinding stone. They would only use one sword sliding past the other sword. It required that the metal, one sword would slide down and actually smooth the edges as one was giving metal and one is taking edges off. And the metal of the swords, the edges of the swords were always very similar in their how sharp they were. You would never use a dull rock to sharpen a Japanese sword because it would take and break the edges, not sharpen the edges. And the ability that it takes for us to be able to sharpen one another means it needs to be in a relationship that I can give and take. If we're ever, think about it, will you ever really take advice from somebody that isn't able to take advice from you? No. We want relationships that are paired up with people that are willing to be taught as they are willing to give and speak truth into my life. And that is a tough thing. Because I need to become vulnerable for that to happen. And that means I have somebody's care and heart and mind more than my own. More than my own. Because then if we gossip and talk, rather than talking to them, dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. How many times do we get into the relationships with people that somebody who's whispering over there, this happens with young people a lot, I see it at camp at least, in their relationships, and somebody over here is whispering, these guys over here talking, these guys are whispering. Whether they're talking about them or not, this whispering group over here makes everybody uncomfortable around them. Makes everybody uncomfortable. How about in church when that happens as well? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that is, may give grace to those who hear. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, and with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. When you get to this point in your relationships, your trust is lost. When trust is lost, relationships falter. When relationships falter because of trust, it is broken. and hard to heal. Hard to heal. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. We learned that from Sam and Lil and Bill and Molly 35 years ago. Imagine running a ministry and letting people gossip. What happens? If there were lions loose out that second door out there, how many of you would be fine leaving the door ajar? Oh, the lions haven't eaten in 2 weeks. Don't worry. Just leaving the door ajar a little bit and leaving this door wide open. How many would be comfortable leaving the door open just a little bit? Not a chance. Not a chance. And this verse says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold, to give an opportunity to the devil. Because what happens? What happens? You're mad at each other tonight, what happens in the morning? Your brother touches your book. A book you don't even care about. What do you think about that then? If you went to bed mad at him. Just for touching a book, it might have been your math book, which you don't even care about. Right? And you get mad at him anyways. You get mad at him anyways. What happens after school? You come home and eat some vegetables. You get mad at him anyways because those were your vegetables, even though you had no plan to eat those vegetables. And the next day, you don't even talk to him at all. We know those things, don't we? We have it in our churches, our schools, our families, our relationships. It's a lot harder to fix tomorrow. The cynical or negative mindset, the whole loss fulfilled in one word, you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. James 4, 7, and 8 are probably some great verses that go to this. Go with this to me is draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. King James renders it, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You know why I love that verse? Those two verses? Because verse 4:11, James 4:11 says, do not criticize. Have you ever been in a close relationship with God where you're praying and just thanking God for dying on the cross, for dying for you while we're still his enemies? And then able to turn right around and tell your wife something mean, to tell one of your friends something mean, to complain about something that happened. Are we able to do that? Not when we're close to God. I want to put this on everybody's challenge, because I just have one more slide and then we're closing. If you are complaining about somebody, it is a direct opposite of your relationship with God. The more you're able to complain about somebody, you complain this much, that means your relationship with God is lacking that much. You can't complain about somebody if your relationship with God is up here, because you see yourself in the humble position that we need to see ourselves. We can't see somebody else down here already knowing that God demonstrated his love toward me while I was his enemy, that I have anything to say negative about anybody else. I can't. If you have a critical spirit, get right with God. It's a lot easier to get right with somebody else after you've gotten right with God, because he'll give you the humility to give you the strength to do it. And finally, not putting in the effort necessary to communicate and connect. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, and love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That is not just a bunch of words. We're such an accelerated, rapidly moving world, it's easy to get lazy about communicating and connecting. Our young people today are screaming for relationships, and yet the internet is filling their lives with all the perceived relationships they need. And it's not, when I say young people, it can be me too. Because connecting in a disciplined process is a disciplined process. It requires focus on others. It requires energy with the Lord's help. And it requires time that God has created for man to have relationships. You have to work at it. If we don't put in the effort, will you ever stand on the podium in a sport, an event, without the practice, without the workout, with the discipline to eat and do the right things? Will you ever be there? No. And you don't get the relationships you want. You get the relationships you build. May God help all of us in every relationship or whatever relationship He's laid on your heart tonight to be able to work on that for His glory. Amen. Father God, we thank You. We thank You so much for these reminders from Your Word, from experiences that You put into our lives. Please help us. Please help us in our relationship with You first. Please help us to draw near to You. Please help us to not be critical of others. Help us to be gracious, forgiving. Help us to not be angry. Help us to be loving. Help us to put others' needs in front of our own, that You might be glorified. Help us to consider every relationship in a way that it's a relationship for Your glory and honor. And the Son, in Your Son's name, most precious name, our sweet Savior and Lord, Jesus, we pray. Amen.